Good evening.
Evening.
I saw you texted me. I just got in. What's up?
Okay. I'm on my way to Hana's, so I probably will mute my phone because it comes through my car.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does. But we're waiting for somebody else.
Okay, are we having question and answer tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, and I know my question was a little strange, but did you understand it?
I didn't get a question unless it's in an email, and I haven't looked at my emails lately.
I texted you. It was in the
Well,
text.
but
It was
all I
about.
saw was, I'll take a closer look. If it's not there, I'll let you know that I don't have it.
Mark. Malcolm.
Okay. All right.
Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening to all.
Hey.
Shall we begin?
Hey, Brandy, how are you?
Hey, Malcolm. Pretty good.
Right.
So we're in section 12 in the Parsha of Noah. We're in section at Pasuk 78. And we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Ke Bid Hiluur Himud Hiluud Hiluur Himu. Leakta Lashem Yud He Bavavhe Biyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. Vasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kanane Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kananehu. Ruby, we're in verse 78 in section 12 on Parashat Noach. Ba lefanai mikan o lifna chayave alma me'atinin leya umashkan leya alayhu le'achshava shaka lon dekaven tiyachave leya reshuta natel mishmata vela natel ad yachave Leyal Rishuta Bialda Balifanai Vemetal Rishu Beakshaka Apaihu Divne Alma Ukine Kach Vehinani Mashvitam Et Haaretz Be'al da'ase v'chatevat patse gofer begin leish tazva tazva v'la yakel l'shalta'a alach. From the words is come before me, we learn that wicked people hasten to attract the angel of death upon themselves in order to bring darkness upon themselves. Therefore, because they give him permission, he grabs the soul. But he never takes the soul without permission. That is why the verse reads, "Is come before me." This means that he comes before me to get permission to bring darkness upon the faces of people of the world. And that is why it is written, I will destroy them with the earth. Because I gave him permission, make an ark of gopher wood on which to save yourself so that he should have no power over you. Questions, comments, thoughts?
What's the significance of gosher wood? Gosher. Hello?
I'm here. Hello? I'm looking at it.
Okay.
The gematria is 289. 200 would be 10 times 10, or 100, for the direct light, and 100 for the returning light, which represents completion. The number 100 represents completion. It's 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 89 is the gematria of the word Hanukkah, representing the holiday of light that is really the revelation of the light that was created on the first day and then hidden away. That's that energy, that light comes out on Hanukkah. So the gopher wood is essentially saying a completed structure of sephirot fulfilled by the initial light of the day, the first day of creation.
Hannah, sorry I'm late.
Not a problem. We were just talking about verse 78.
Okay.
And Malka had asked, what's the significance of gopher wood that was what the ark is made of? And I just went through the gematria of 289.
Okay. Oops, excuse me. I hit the...
So was it Hanukkah? The festival of the Hanukkah festival when Noah entered or finished the ark?
Well,
78. Let me find it. Okay.
The flood started on the 17th day of Cheshvan. And it ended 365 days later, which would make it the 27th day of Cheshvan. Hanukkah is the 25th day of Kislev. So the answer is no, it's not there, yet it is there.
What's there?
Well,
Hanukkah
is not a biblical holiday.
Right.
The energy of Hanukkah was always there, but it wasn't revealed. It takes mankind to do an action to draw that light, the organanus it's referred to, the hidden light.
Mm-hmm.
So the hidden light is always there. So what is the significance of Hanukkah? Is it is the receptacle, the vessel, that reveals the organus, the hidden light. Now what does it have to do with Noah? It has to do with it that Noah, by building the ark out of gopher wood, is connecting to that hidden light.
Malka, do you remember when we referred to it as Zot Hanukkah?
Mm-hmm.
The last night of Hanukkah. I really stressed that. Had y'all mark it on your calendars and everything. And I think that was the last thing I said to y'all. Don't forget Zot Hanukkah next year.
Zot Hanukkah, as Hannah is reminding Malka, Zot Hanukkah is the last day of Hanukkah. It's referred to as, this is Hanukkah. Well, there's 8 days of Hanukkah, so why is it called, the last day is called, this is the Hanukkah? The other 7 days are not Hanukkah? And the answer is Zot Hanukkah represents the completion of male and female. It represents the vessel being completely fulfilled by the light in its proper structure, in its proper order. It represents the right action at the right time, at the right place, with the right kavanah. And so the word gopher represents that as well.
Wow. I love the secrets of Zohar. It really completes lots of things.
We agree. We definitely agree. Pasuk 79. Tachat Seitaninan Bezimna Demota Eat Bemata O Bialma La Eat Chaze Barnash Beshuka Begin De Eat Lea Rishulim Chabela V'chabala kola begine kach Amar lo kutsha barichu Va'elach le'istamra V'la techezve Garmach kame Dim chabala dila yishlot alach. Come and see. We have learned that when there is a plague in the city or in the world, a person should not show himself in the marketplace, because the angel of destruction has received permission to destroy everything. This is why the Holy One, blessed be He, told Noah, "It behooves you to take heed and not show yourself before the angel of destruction, so that he may not have power to rule over you." Questions, comments, thoughts?
We've seen that before. Go ahead.
Oh, does the plague refer to the type of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we've seen this before. I don't know if it's in the Zohar or maybe one of Hanukkah's teachings, but that particular verse was what came to me during the hurricane. You know, that if they tell you to evacuate, you should evacuate because of this. But that's what came to my mind, and whether or not it's relative, maybe it was just relative to me.
No, it's relative to any form of destruction. Ruby, you had a question? I'll explain.
Yeah, more. I just wanted to know, when they were speaking about plague, is it indicative of a period or a time of judgment? When you have the plague, you should hide yourself.
Yes, it's relating to destruction, but it's also a plague. It can be illness, something like the Black Plague in the Middle Ages. It can be a tsunami. It can be a hurricane. It can be an earthquake. Anything that is destroying groups of people. That's what the flood was. It was a destruction of people. It was a destruction of the whole world. Scientifically, they say, well, it wasn't the whole world, because the flood didn't take over the land of the whole world. We have no archaeological record of that. That's what science says. The Bible says it destroyed the whole world. What's the difference? Well, if you're self-centric, anything dealing with people is the whole world. As an example, we all know that the earth goes around the sun, yet the earth is the center of the universe. How can that be? The sun should be the center of the universe. But if you are coming from the frame of the self-centric, the human-centric, the earth, there's no other human beings outside of the earth at this moment. There's nobody else in another planet. Now, that can change in the future. But right now, the earth is the center of the universe because from the frame of human consciousness, there's nothing outside of the earth. The same thing applies to a plague. In the time of the Bible, were the Americas not known? Yeah, they were known to the sages of the Kabbalah because they knew there had to be seven continents. But they didn't know where they were, and they weren't part of the world consciousness of the majority of human beings. So the whole world was destroyed because all of the known humanity was destroyed. Always think in terms of relativity. Never think in terms of absolute unless you are discussing God. And if you're discussing God as an absolute, how does that help you with your tikkun? It's just your curiosity run amok and you're letting yourself go. Because it really doesn't make a difference in how you make changes in yourself. I hope I've been clear in kind of what I'm saying here. Malka, did I answer, or Hama, did I answer all your questions about?
Yes, I understand.
No, I know, but did I answer all the questions about the hurricanes and whether that was?
Yeah.
Because the hurricane, you know, I don't want to say it was only a certain area of Texas or Louisiana, or it's only a small part of the United States. So was that a plague? To the people who have that experience of living through those hurricanes, that is a plague. To the people going through the fires in California today, that is a plague. Is it a plague to the people in Georgia or New York? To the extent that they can feel the pain by observing the pictures of the people who have lost everything in those fires, or the flooding having lost so much, to the extent that people are able to feel the pain, they are unifying, and they're part of the destruction, they're part of the plague. To the extent, as most people think unconsciously, better than me, they separate themselves from being unified. And that's, as we've discussed a few times, that's hatred for no reason.
But Hanak, doesn't our actions,
yes,
as a group determine these plagues, creates the plagues?
Our human
not
activity,
but collectively.
Human activity. No, individually as well.
Okay.
The macro world and the micro world are always the same. So if someone gets sick with cancer, God forbid, for them that's a plague. Now that there's so many people sick with cancer, the society has a plague. It's always relative. Plague is an individual level and it's a group level. But human activity is what creates plagues. And the tools to avoid a plague is good deeds, mitzvot, consciousness, and building an ark for yourself, an ark in your heart. What is that ark? The Zohar says it's studying the Zohar. Not studying it in the traditional sense of the secular world, but studying it by reading it, studying it by scanning it if you don't read Aramaic. Studying the Zohar is your ark in this generation. I'm finished, so I don't know who I interrupted.
Well, I think you're finished, but you're just taking a breath, so I'm sorry. To me, the incense offering also is an antidote for plague, and that's why I'm so glad that you do it, you know, on third year.
Yes,
can you repeat that again, please, about the incense?
The incense offering is another antidote or vaccine for plague.
It's a protection shield. That was a vaccine.
Right. And then
the incense offering was used in the plague where the people in the desert were being bitten by snakes. And Moses told Aaron to light the incense and carry it around the camp as a cure. That's in the book of Bamidbar.
I also learned that the name of Hashem, in connection with plagues, is Adonai Hashem Sabaot, because not this past hurricane, but the one that hit New Orleans, I don't remember the name anymore, maybe about a year ago, and there was an article I'd taken the newspaper and I had it on the table, and I laid it on the table. On the very front page, they said that the problem was going to be standing water and mosquitoes, which were going to cause West Nile virus, as well as, what's the one that starts with the Z?
Zika? Zika virus?
Yeah. And it just was like a sword in my heart. You know, it was like, when I read it, it just was like, you know. And I just called out, you know, I don't know, send your army. And the next thing, I happened to look out the door and there were mosquito hawks. I don't know if y'all have mosquito hawks where y'all live. They were just swarming all over my backyard. And I went to the front and they were also in the front. And so that was the army that Hashem sent to eat up the mosquitoes. To come against the plague. And I think that came because of bringing the incense offering so often. Now here again, that was for me. But then the next, just within 30 minutes, someone knocked at my door. It happened to be the lady who bought my house before we went to Israel. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I just read this article. Look at it and look at the back door." And we talked about it a little while. Well, the next Friday, she doesn't come to the synagogue very often. But the next Friday, she was at Erev Shabbat services, and she was across the aisle from me. And right after she came over and said that she put it to practice, and the same thing happened in her yard for the mosquito hawks. So
this Anna?
After this past hurricane, when I saw the mosquitoes hawks in the backyard, they weren't as big as the ones that came when I asked it just came out of me, so I can't really take credit for it. But they were red, and they weren't as big, and there weren't as many. But it let me know that God was at work, eating up the mosquitoes and coming against Zakia and any other West Nile virus or whatever. And we didn't hear of any cases after that hurricane.
No, right. We didn't hear about any. And I did. I also expected to see, after the flood, a significant increase in mosquitoes, because that's what they look for, stagnant water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may have happened and it just wasn't being reported, but, you know, obviously the three of you are closer to that situation, so you would know if you really got a whole bunch of mosquitoes in the area.
I remember reading about it, that they were expecting it to happen.
Right. Well, it was right on the front page, and a lot of times I go a whole week and haven't read the newspapers, so I'll just stack them on the table and kind of flip. But that one was just right on the front page, and when I read it, it was like, you know, just all those cases of so many women who were expecting babies, and they were exposed from other countries, and their babies were born with mental defects. And I don't know, I guess that's what struck me, you know, was feeling the pain.
But the main point, and then we're out of time, the main point I want to stress is that a plague is relative to the individuals involved. How you define a plague is being poor. A plague is not having enough to eat. A plague is not having shelter. A plague is losing a job. A plague is a depression. You know the old, I don't want to say the old joke because to me it's not funny, but the old joke is it's a recession when your neighbor loses his job, and it's a depression when you lose your job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that makes you think.
But it starts to, you know, wake, it helps you realize how interconnected our society is, and yet we don't appreciate that. We're not aware of it. We're not aware of all those trucks traveling in the dark hours of the night, bringing foodstuffs to all of the marketplaces. But as soon as you have a hurricane alert, all of a sudden there's no water on the shelves. There's no, you know, whatever people eat or stack up on during in anticipation. There's not enough in the marketplace, and it takes another week for them to come back and get everything stored back in, because the whole modern society is functioning around a computer model that tells them how many are they're going to sell this day. So they deliver, that's what the estimate of how many they're going to sell, and they don't deliver more. So when you have an unusual event, it's a plague, because there's a shortage.
I find the hardest thing is to not have immediate reaction is, oh, God, thank God it's not coming here. I really had to fight that years ago. I'm better now. But mainly learning about the names of the hurricanes and how that helps you so much to be able to pray and dissipate them through the meanings of their names has helped. But when that thought comes of wanting to come in my head to say, oh, thank God it's not coming here because I've experienced a hurricane, had to evacuate for 2 weeks, and when we came back, our house was hardly damaged at all, yet the rest of the subdivision was practically destroyed. And what it's like to go without flooring for a year because everybody needs the flooring, and you were just put on a waiting list. And so, I mean, I know what it's like to have walls and carpet and furniture, you know, with water lines, and mine only came just a few inches. But I've seen homes of my friends that were 4 and 5 feet, and the amount of, you know, just trauma in recovery.
And I don't know if you saw any of the pictures today of the fires in Santa Rosa.
Yes.
They're horrible. I saw those.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, that's not just that you have water lines and you can just go back to live in that house. The house is gone. And anything you didn't take out of the house when you evacuated, which you maybe had 5 minutes to evacuate, it's gone. It's burned up. It's nothing left. And now this is the fourth catastrophe that all of the charitable organizations are promoting, you know, let us help the people who were devastated by this. You know, but no one prepares for four in a row like that.
And when we see it, we have a tendency to become, what's the word? It become everyday and we don't relate to the pain.
Yeah, you don't relate because it's you know, just, oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
What, Canuck, what do you think is happening with all the disasters one after the other from a spiritual context?
Well, The quick answer to that is it's all cleansing, some by fire, some by water. That's a simple, easy answer. I have my beliefs. I haven't really asked the question of what is the real reason, but as I look at this and I see all of this divisiveness within the nation of the United States, what areas of the country have been devastated? The fires are not liberal, it's beyond liberal. Essentially, the floods and the fires have been taking places where people have been extreme in their values. California is looking, the people of California, being very liberal, are looking to have the government take care of them. The people in the areas that you live in, where the floods and the hurricanes came, my perception, and I could be wrong because I don't really know the people, I just, you know, I hear what I hear on the TV, but the people in that area, especially in Texas, made attempts to force their values on other people, the conservative values being forced on other people. These are extreme actions people have taken. In Puerto Rico, you also have that same sense of extreme actions. Because in Puerto Rico, you have the situation where they went into such debt in order to, and nobody stood up and accepted the responsibility for it. They reorganized it. But they were always looking for a handout for the last 18 months before they got that organized and got it restructured. So I'm not judging it and saying it was wrong in all of these areas, but that's my perception as the cause, is we need to stay in balance. And the areas that are being cleansed by water and cleansed by fire are areas where the people were not in balance. And they were making decisions and doing actions that are extremely off balance.
And I thought it was spectacular, and I hope this does. It's not bragging, it's not boasting. It was the idea of those of us who were studying Kabbalah and were in these areas, we weren't affected, very little.
Yeah.
The water didn't get in our homes. We were
and that is the whole protection shield. That's the whole idea of the ark.
Right. Including Jasmine and
Morgan and Jim. You have that protection shield. Does it mean you're immune from it? No.
No.
Because you're in the area that you have friends, you have neighbors, you have family that are affected.
Yeah.
But eventually, people are going to start to make a connection to realize. We get destroyed because, and these other people are exempt. What's the difference between us? And eventually that question will be answered by them by realizing that people are studying Kabbalah. People are studying the Zohar.
But Hanak, these incidents, it's not restricted to the United States. I mean, the floodings happen in Asia.
Yes.
It's all over.
It's part of the cleansing. The cleansing takes place in anticipation of the coming of the end. But which end is going to come? Is it going to come from the right or from the left? That's what this section is talking about. Everybody tells us we're in the end times. Everybody tells us we're in the final generation. So, which end is going to come? And the people who study Kabbalah, the people who are teaching Kabbalah, they're all in agreement. We're trying to make the end be merciful. We don't want an Armageddon war. We don't want these plagues. But it's going to take more of us studying the Zohar to be able to reach that. But if you say to a religious person that by just scanning the Zohar, you have a magic panacea, it's not true. They won't believe it, number one, but it's also not true. Because as you scan the Zohar, you do that for 1 year, you do that for 5 years, you do that for 20 years. Every year you need to be doing more. Whatever more means in your life. If you stay doing this, I'm scanning an hour a day of Zohar. Well, this year you need to be scanning an hour and a half. You cannot stay still. Staying still means you're staying in your comfort zone. So that have I frightened enough of you yet?
No, I'm not frightened.
No.
Good. But, you know, I'm trying to motivate doing more good deeds, helping more people.
We're just preparing ourselves.
Baruch Hashem. The fact that your homes weren't destroyed by the water means you have additional responsibility to help those who were destroyed. I hope you all have a good evening. Our next class, if enough people come, it's at the 7 o'clock West Coast time. Hopefully we'll be able to explain Hoshana Rabbah, which starts this evening, and Shmini Atzeret, which is Thursday, Wednesday night and Thursday, and Simchat Torah, those last three holidays. And to titillate your intrigue, this actually the last 2 days I've gotten some revelations about Shmini Atzeret, because during Shmini Atzeret we transform and pray from, instead of praying for dew, we're praying for rain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do we do that? The physical reason is that the rain comes in the winter. Physical reason.
Is it male and female? The difference.
I couldn't hear you say it again.
I said, is the difference between when we change from saying praying for the dew to rain, would that go back to what you said right when I came on when I was late today, of male and female coming together?
Absolutely. That is the revelation. Because we were changing from female waters, which is the dew, to male waters. The months of the year, there are six male months and six female months. When we pray for rain, we're bringing the male energy into the female months. When we pray for dew, we're bringing the female energy into the male months. The revelation that I received was, why did the Catholic Church speak about the missionary sexual position? Why was it necessary for men to be on top only? It has to do with this idea of male waters and female waters. I hope you all have a good evening.
Okay.
Thank you, Hanak.
Shalom to all.